appreciate the prayer that's gone before and ask that you continue to remember me as I stand before you this morning. I was down at Little Miami's annual meeting and spoke there a couple of times over the weekend and took part in the ordination of David Freeman to the office of deacon. And so we got home kind of late last night, and so the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing this morning. But pray for me that the Lord would bless me for whatever time I stand before you. I want to bring you a message this morning that I would entitle Things to Remember. Things to Remember. And I want to start off by saying, in comparison to man, we know that God does not forget things, does he? Man forgets, but God does not forget anything. He is the omniscient God, if you will. He knows all things, and he doesn't forget anything. In fact, the word of Isaiah prophesies, speaking of the Lord, that he declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times those things that are not yet done. And Paul says in the book of Acts in chapter 15 that known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And so nothing has ever slipped the mind of God. He's never forgotten anything, but rather he knows everything, including all of his works from the beginning of the world. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, if God doesn't forget anything, or certainly if God doesn't forget us as his children, then why did David cry out in the Psalms and ask the question of the Lord, how long will you forget me? You see, David was in a place in his life where he was having the perception that God had forgotten him. There was a barrier between David and the Lord at this time, and David, perhaps because of the sin that had separated him from the Lord, he's feeling and having this perception that the Lord is far from him and that he's forgotten all about him. But that wasn't really the case. The Lord hadn't forgot about David. He didn't just somehow say, well, I've turned my back to him and I'm forgetting all about him. He knew who David was. He knew David's struggles at that time. But David just had the perception that the Lord had forgotten about him. And so that's why he then could cry out, how long will you forget me, O Lord? And then you might ask a question, well, if God doesn't forget anything, then what about our sins? Paul says in the book of Hebrews, testifying of the Lord and the eternal salvation of his people, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That is, the sins of the elect people of God, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he took away the legal consequences of their sins. And Paul says that the Lord will not remember those anymore. Well, dear friends, that doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten that we were bankrupt sinners. That doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten the covenant of salvation that required the death of his dear and precious Son. But what that means is that the Lord has purposely put out of his mind the fact that we legally were required to pay the debt for that sin because of the death of his Son. He's purposely put that out of his mind, and rather he looks at us through the righteousness of Christ now. Does that make sense this morning? Again, he hasn't forgotten that we were sinners, but rather he's just saying, I'm not going to hold it to their charge anymore. I'm looking at them through the perfectness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so I think that's what he has in mind there. But I'll say, too, how the Lord purposely puts things out of his mind. We as men sometimes need to purposely put some things out of our mind, don't we? We need to be kind of like the Lord in that regard, that we need to forget some things. Maybe in our past we have had sins and experiences that are hindering us now. The Apostle Paul had that, didn't he? But he said that he was going to forget those things which were behind, and he was going to press forward, reaching toward the high prize and the calling of Jesus Christ. He is going to keep marching and pressing forward with everything that is in his being. That ought to be our mentality. Yes, we have sinful pasts. Yes, we've had experiences in our life that we probably wish we hadn't had. But we cannot let those things hinder us. We need to purposely put those things out of our minds. We've had experiences with friends in the church, family in the church, to where there's been difficulties, there's been offenses and so forth. But dear friends, we need to try to put those things out of our minds too and move forward, if you will. We need to just purposely put them out of our mind, even as the Lord purposely puts things out of his mind. I heard it said this weekend, and I thought it was an excellent expression, that the Lord did all the forgiving, so I can do all the forgetting. Let that sink in this morning. The Lord has done and taken care of all the forgiving, whether it's been of the sins and the experiences in our life, or whether it's been offenses in our life. The Lord's taken care of all the forgiving. We need to do all the forgetting so that we can move on in the service of our God. And so, men, sometimes they forget things that they should remember, as Brother Loudermilk said, and sometimes they remember things that they should forget. But men forget things all the time, don't they? You can look to the testimony of Scripture, even going back to Genesis chapter 40 and into chapter 41, and you see the account of Joseph. And Joseph was in the dungeon there in Egypt, and he was in there not by himself, but he was in there with the Pharaoh's baker and butler. And he is interpreting the butler's dream that he had. And after he's interpreted it and he's told the butler, you're going to be restored to Pharaoh's house, what does Joseph say? He says, when you're returned, when things are made well with you, you remember me. You tell Pharaoh about me that I'm here in this dungeon. Well, we find out when the butler's restored, what happened? He forgot Joseph, didn't he? He forgot that Joseph was there in that dungeon. And in fact, as we come into the 41st chapter of Genesis, you'll see that it was actually 2 years later that the butler remembered. Can you imagine that? You forget something and you say, well, I'll remember it later, and maybe it's 5, maybe it's 10 minutes, maybe it's a day later. 2 years later, after Joseph has been in this dungeon for 2 years, the butler then says, I remember my faults this day. Joseph, the one that interpreted this dream of mine, is still in the dungeon. He then tells Pharaoh about him. But men forget things all the time. We don't have to look to Scripture necessarily to prove that. We can look at our own experiences in life, and we can remember times when we've forgotten things, forgotten special occasions, birthdays and anniversaries. We've walked into a room and we said, now, wait a minute, what did I come in here for? Was it car keys? No, I can't remember what it was. Even this morning, we made it as far as Gas City. Thankfully, we didn't make it much further. But even this morning, as we were making our way through Gas City, I said, did I forget my Bible at home? I think I did. I left my Bible at home. And so today was a wonderful illustration to me that men forget things. And I remember a time passed in Middletown when I was living over there in Ohio. I went to the laundromat and I must have had something else on my mind. I must have been in a hurry to get to work or something. But I had gone into the laundromat and I went and I had all my quarters and my detergent and I was getting everything ready. And then it came time for me to bend over and put my laundry in the washing machine, and lo and behold, my laundry wasn't there. I'd left my laundry at the house, so I had to go back, and you know, the people that were running the thing, they probably thought, who in the world is this strange bird, you know, that's walked in and putting quarters in the machine but doesn't have any laundry? But we forget things, don't we? We forget things all the time, and that's one of the reasons we have preaching, isn't it? That's one of the reasons that we have continual preaching on the things of God, that we might remember the things that we need to remember. In fact, Peter said that he would not be negligent to put them always, notice that word always, he wanted them to always have it in their mind. He would not be negligent to put them always in remembrance of these things. And the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, he says that you're going to be a good minister if you put the people in remembrance of these things. You know, that's what I strive for, if you will. At the end of my ministry, I want them to say, Brother Nathan may have not been the greatest orator. He may have not been the greatest theologian, but he put us in remembrance of things that we needed to remember. Paul says, you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ if you do that. It's not about how many you convert. It's not about how many you baptize. It's about tending to the current flock that God has given you and putting that current flock in remembrance of these things. Yes, if some are added, that's wonderful, and we ought to praise the Lord. Certainly we need to pray that the Lord would bless us in numbers. But to be a good minister, the number one goal is to put the people in remembrance of these things. And certainly there's a great salvation that comes about in remembering things, isn't there? There's a great salvation. In fact, Paul says in Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Notice this, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preach unto you. So there's a salvation that comes through remembering. It's not an eternal salvation. We know that and recognize that. If it was an eternal salvation, there would be little hope for people like us that forget from time to time. There'd be little hope for people that didn't have the mental capacities that they once had. Maybe they've suffered from Alzheimer's and so forth. But the Apostle Paul is saying there's a salvation here in this life if we can remember and call these things to mind. Certainly there would have been a salvation for Joseph, wouldn't there? Not an eternal salvation, but that would have been a huge temporal salvation for Joseph if the butler had remembered that he was in that dungeon. He would have been saved from 2 years in that position. And so the Bible is very clear that there are things that we as the people of God need to remember. One that comes to mind, one of the first ones that comes to my mind, is Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, right? We find there, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Dear friends, as we find in that writing, the evil days could come upon us. The evil days of old age, the days of struggle and so forth. And so the warning there is that we would remember our Creator as we have the time and the ability to do it right now. You say, "Brother Nathan, I'm not young anymore. I'm getting up in years." Well, you're younger today than you will be tomorrow. You're younger today than you will be next week. And so we need to take the youth that we have left and remember our Creator today, before the evil days come. Remember all about the Lord. Remember the omnipotence of the Lord. The one that the King Nebuchadnezzar would cry out and say, that there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" That he does according to his will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. That there's one ruling and reigning on the throne of this universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The one that sets up kings and brings kings down. The one whose heart of the king is in his hand, and he turns it whithersoever he will, even as rivers of water. We need to remember our Creator, the omnipotent God that's ruling and reigning today, just as much as he did when he spoke these very worlds into existence. I tell you what, that'll do the people of God good. That'll do them good to remember their Creator. It'll do not only us good and our families good, it'll do our nation good. If our nation would turn back to the Lord, what's the psalmist say? He say that the wicked will be turned into hell. That's not an eternal hell, that's a temporal hell, a hell on earth. The wicked will be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I'm telling you, the United States of America would be better off today if we remembered God. We need to remember our Creator now in the days of our youth. Remember not just His existence, that He's there. Remember not just His attributes, but remember, dear friends, what He's done for you. Putting aside the greatest gift, that is His beloved Son, His most precious Son, to bleed and die for you and to purchase your eternal home in heaven. Putting that aside, just remember, even as David would cry out, "Him that daily loadeth us with benefits." I can't begin to exhaust how many ways that the Lord blesses us here in this life. Daily loadeth us with benefits. David would cry out too in the Psalms to remember the Lord and all of His marvelous works, and forget not all His benefits. Isaiah says to remember the former things of old. He's speaking to the nation of Israel there, and he's wanting them to call to remembrance how the Lord had blessed them in all of their lives that thus far. He said, "Remember the former things of old." That is, to look back. Remember when you and your forefathers were in Egypt. Remember how they were in bondage, how they were slaves there. Remember how He delivered you out of that land, how He gave you the opportunity to go and enter into the promised land, in Canaan's land, and how you were there in that promised land. He continued to deliver you along the way, even though there would be some that would overtake you because of disobedience, as you read in the book of Judges. Remember how He blessed you with one deliverer after another. Remember the former things of old. Remember how He's blessed you along life's way. Sometimes we look back, I think, at the things that the Lord's done for us, and we just don't have a very high opinion of them. Look at Numbers chapter 16 this morning. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 13. We preached a few weeks back about the promised land and the deliverance that the people of God had out of the nation of Israel, and how the Lord was encouraging them, telling them that the promised land was unlike Egypt. It was going to be something completely different than what they had. But notice, He was encouraging them because they were continually wanting to go back. Notice what they say, Numbers chapter 16 and verse 13. They're remembering that He had delivered them, but He says, it is a small thing. Notice what they're saying here. It's a small thing that Thou hast brought us out of a land that floweth with milk and honey. This isn't talking about the promised land. They, in their own perception, thought Egypt was a land flowing with milk and honey. They're saying it's a small thing. It doesn't matter. It's nothing. It's a small thing that You've brought us out of this land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except Thou make Thyself altogether a prince over us. Dear friends, sometimes when we look back at the blessings that the Lord's given us, sometimes we have the wrong mentality, even as they do. It's a small thing. But it's not a small thing. Look back at your life and remember all the wonderful ways that the Lord has blessed you. Look back and see how He's delivered you spiritually out of the land of Egypt, how He's given you an opportunity today to be in the promised land, to rest here in Canaan's land, and to hear the promises of the Lord preached. Remember how, even despite your disobedience along life's way, He still continues to deliver you time and time again. Remember the former things of old. I tell you, dear friends, for a God that blesses us in so many unknown ways, we can't even begin to comprehend all the blessings of the Lord. For a God that blesses us in so many unknown ways, shouldn't we praise Him and remember Him for the ways that we know He's blessed us in the past? And so the Bible is very clear that we need to remember our Creator. But not just our Creator. Of course, we've spoken about that in the past, but we need to remember Christ as well. We need to remember Christ, the person of Christ. Remember the miracles, if you will, that Christ performed. You say, Brother Nathan, why do we need to remember the miracles that Christ performed? Because the miracles proved who Christ was. The miracles showed the glory and the power of Christ and claimed Him and gave Him the ability to be recognized as the Son of the Most High God. In Matthew chapter 16, we find that the Lord has been with some Pharisees and Sadducees. And then after leaving them, He turns to His disciples and He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And His disciples there in Matthew 16, they're saying, well, He's telling us this because we've forgotten bread. He's telling us this because dinner time has come and we don't have any bread. And so He's mad at us. He's saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What does the Lord tell them? In verse 9 of Matthew 16, the Lord says, do you not understand, nor do you now remember the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? You see what Christ is saying? He's saying, you think I'm telling you this because you forgot bread? You think I'm telling you this because you don't have any bread to eat? I'm the one that fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and you had baskets upon baskets to take up from it. He's turning to His disciples and He's saying, you need to remember the miracles. You need to understand who I am. I'm the very Son of God. And that miracle should have shown forth that and proved who I really was. There are some say, no, Christ, He wasn't the Son of God. They're Unitarian and their theology. That is, they believe in just one member of the Godhead, whereas we're Trinitarian. We believe in one God, but yet inside that one God, we believe there are three persons in the Godhead. And there are some that believe in this Unitarian idea, and they say, well, Christ, he was just a good man. He wasn't really the Son of God. Well, dear friends, I want you to understand today that Christ held himself out to be the Son of God. And if he truly was not the Son of God, then he wasn't a good man. He was, in fact, a liar. And as a liar, he would be a bad man. So he was either a liar and a bad man, or he was exactly who he claimed to be. There is no middle ground in saying that Jesus was just a good man. Dear friends, we ought to be able to remember the miracles of Christ and cry out, even as the centurion did at the death, truly this was the Son of God. That's why we need to remember the miracles of Christ, that we might know who he was and who he is. Remember the words that Christ taught. Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what's important about the words of Christ? Well, words have meaning. Words have value. Certainly we need to remember that in our lives when we say things, that words have meaning and value to them. But also from the words of Christ, truth can be gleaned from that. And through that truth, there is a salvation that is brought to the hearts of the believers. If only we would remember the words of Christ. Again, not an eternal, but a temporal salvation here and now. I think about the two that were on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. They were very downcast. They were very downtrodden. They thought that the Messiah had come. They thought that this man Jesus was the Messiah. But then they became discouraged, and they, after they had heard, well, the body is no longer there, he's been killed and so forth, then they were very discouraged along the way. But how might things have been different if they just remembered the words of Christ? How might things have been different in their experience here in their life and in their hearts? They would have saved themselves from such needless pain and discouragement along life's way. Or even Mary sitting at the tomb of Christ and weeping because she thought this, her Lord, his body had been taken, that she'd never see him again. If only she had remembered that the Lord promised that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. If only she had remembered the words of Christ. Oh, the heartache she could have saved herself in that time of weeping. So we need to remember the words of Christ. Remember the promises that he gave us. The promises that he would never leave us or forsake us along life's way. The promise that he would come back and receive us to himself. That's what he told his disciples in the shadow of the cross. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Remember the promise of the Lord, and that he would return again. I'm telling you, dear friends, that could certainly save many from heartache along life's way. There were some that we see in the book of Timothy that had their faith overthrown because they'd been told and convinced of some that the resurrection had already taken place. And they had their faith overthrown concerning the coming of our Lord and Savior. Dear friends, what heartache, what despair they could have been saved from. Paul said that if we had faith in Christ in this life only, we would be of all men most miserable. If we thought that he wasn't coming back, that there was nothing left for us, we would be of all men most miserable, wouldn't we? And so we need to remember the promises of the Lord, including the promise of his return. It'll save us from heartache. It'll save us from false doctrine and having our faith overthrown. Paul tells Timothy, too, that you need to remember specifically the resurrection of Christ. He says, remember the resurrection of our Lord. You say, Brother Nathan, why do we need to remember the resurrection of Christ? Well, because his resurrection gives value and meaning to everything we do. Not only here in this worship service, that our faith is not in vain here in this time, but every day of our lives, is given value and given meaning based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see that today? Our faith isn't something that we turn on at 10:30 on Sunday mornings and turn off at 12 noon. It's not something that we turn on just for special meetings. We should be living a life of faith in Jesus Christ every single day. And the Apostle Paul says that if Christ has not been risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. It affects our everyday life. It gives value and meaning to the lifestyles and the standards that we are to have in our life as Christians. And so certainly we need to remember the resurrection of Christ. We need to remember not only the Creator and remember Christ, but we need to remember the Lord's Day, don't we? In fact, we find in Exodus chapter 20 in verse 8, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That is to set it apart, to make it special. Remember this day. Now, we don't have the Sabbath like they had in the Old Testament. We have a spiritual Sabbath, if you will, here that we set apart a day for the public worship of God and the New Testament church. And we see that it's typified and carried out in the New Testament church as in unison, as with Mount Zion and Jerusalem of old. That is, the principles and those things that are set forth concerning the Sabbath day and those things that pertain to Zion and Jerusalem, they carry over now to this public day of worship in the New Testament church. But we need to remember the Lord's Day. We need to remember Zion. Remember the church. The 137th Psalm, I've pointed this out before, paints a very sad picture of some that had waited too long to remember Zion. In fact, they had been carried off into captivity by the Babylonians, and it says that they sat there by the rivers of Babylon and they wept when they remembered Zion. I don't want that to be my experience. Do you want that to be your experience? I want to remember Zion. I want to remember the Lord's church here before it's too late, before I have that experience in my life. I want to remember it now before I'm sitting in a faraway land weeping when I say there once was a place called Zion. Dear friends, we need to remember the church. You say, Brother Nathan, well, what do you mean remember the church? Are you saying just remember that it's there? Or how do we forget the church? Well, sometimes we forget the church because of plans we make. Sometimes we plan things late Saturday night and then Sunday morning rolls around and we say, well, you know what? I'm actually too tired for church. I think I'll skip this week. You forgot Zion. You forgot the church and making your plans. Or sometimes things happen in our lives. Maybe we move away because of work, or we're taking a new job or something of the sort that would require us to work on Sundays. Dear friends, that's forgetting Zion. That's forsaking Zion in some way. I have members of my family that were raised in the church. They were taught better, but yet, for some unknown reason, they decide to take their family and move across the country to a place where Zion is not at, where there's not a faithful witness of Zion there. Dear friends, that's forgetting the church. That's forgetting Zion. We need to remember Zion today before it's too late. You say, Brother Nathan, you don't understand. Sometimes we have to move for work and so forth. Well, dear friends, I understand the conflict that comes about. But let me remind you today that the Lord said, though you may worry about our raiment, your clothing, and where your next meal and your food is going to come from, He said, though you may worry about all that, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And those things that you worry about, they'll be added unto you. We ought to have more faith in our Lord. We ought to be more trusting in Him to say, if I remain faithful to Him, if I pass up this promotion, if I pass up going to work over here at this place that would require me to leave behind my church life, if I pass all of that up, the Lord's going to bless me here in this life. He's going to bless me here in His kingdom. Dear friends, we need to remember Zion. Remember the value of Zion. Some, maybe it's not just moving away for work or whatever the case may be, or taking new jobs. Sometimes people just forget Zion because they walk away when troubles come. Sometimes they just say, you know what, forget it. They don't remember Zion. They don't remember the church. They've forgotten the value of the church. They've forgotten the value of Zion. Christ says in Matthew chapter 13, and speaking of the value of the church, he says it's like a treasure that's hid in a field. It's a pearl of great price. Let that sink into you that this man, when he found the treasure that was hid in the field, he decided he didn't want just this little bitty piece of land. He decided he wanted the entire field that he might have the treasure. You know, sometimes we get distracted by the fields around us. Sometimes we get distracted by the weeds and the problems that kind of surround the treasure, don't we? But let it sink in this morning that all of the weeds and all of the troubles that surround the treasure, if you will, the treasure's worth more than all of them put together. It far outweighs all of the troubles that might come. The whole field was purchased all because of this little treasure over here. The value of that far outweighed the rest. And so we need to remember the value of Zion. I was passing by a church not too long ago, and they had a sign out front. I like to read church signs. And this sign said there was free samples of God's grace inside. And you know, I thought to myself, I'm not interested in a sample. You know, I do like samples. That's why I buy a Costco and a Sam's Club membership, so I can go around and I can eat the different samples. Sometimes have that for my dinner. But dear friends, we need to understand the value of Zion and understand it's just not a place of little samples. In fact, Solomon says that he had brought us to his banqueting house. Imagine that. He brought us to his banqueting house and his banner over us was love. Dear friends, that's what we have today, not just a place of little samples. I hope that from time to time the Lord makes it manifest that this is a banqueting house that we can come and dine, as we sang this morning, at the table of Jesus Christ. Remember the value of Zion along life's way. And remember, too, in connection with Zion, remember the people of Zion. Remember the people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to remember me in all things. Remember me in all things. Dear friends, we need to be thinking about one another. We need to be remembering one another, helping one another bear one another's burdens. That's what we need to be about. I hope that from time to time you remember me. And I hope that I'm faithful as your pastor and fellow member to remember you along life's way. I'm telling you what, it'll do every single congregation good. Whether it's an old church, whether it's a new church, whether it's a big church or a small church, it'll do every single congregation good if they spend more time remembering one another. If they spend more time praying for one another. I'm telling you, it'll do them better than anything else. And so we need to remember the people of Zion and the value of Zion. Again, we don't want to be put in that position to where we're made to weep when we remembered Zion. I tell you what, as I said earlier, I hope in some small way that at the end of my ministry, however long it may be, they'll say, "You're a good minister." Because you put us in remembrance of these things. To be not negligent, to put you always in remembrance of these things. Remember Zion. Remember Christ. Remember your Creator today. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Let's stand and sing number 145 this morning.